This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Kisses back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Give you my picks for the weekend coming up a little bit later on. Plus, some audio from Coach O and his coach's show this week as we get ready for the football weekend. Clemson not playing this weekend, but we'll talk about them in just a moment as they hit their bye week here at what could be an important time. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing, and in 1915, they were founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, General Manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. Clemson's off this week. They'll then get ready for Syracuse next week, and obviously this season has not gone as planned, so maybe a well-timed bye week here. Joining us now to talk about the Tigers here at pretty much kind of like the midway point is John Blau, who covers Clemson for the Post and Courier, and he's with us now. John, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. No game this week for Clemson. They're coming off that close win this past week against Boston College. They get ready for Syracuse next week. With the injuries and the way that Clemson has played, does it feel like this is a well-timed off week for Clemson to kind of regroup right now?
No, absolutely. I think the injury count's low 20s right now. At least a dozen players. This will probably take about a minute to go over it all. But, yeah, to have the bye week that they can try to get some of those guys healed up and ready to go, and then especially just going into two really important road games, I mean, one at Syracuse and the next at Pittsburgh, and trying to get everything kind of moving in the right direction offensively, still not quite where they want to be. They did get some yards last week, just didn't really capitalize on all those opportunities in the red zone. But, yeah, a lot of things you want to fix, and a lot of players you got to get healthy.
Yeah, you mentioned things to fix. Obviously, you know, the focus on the offensive side. As someone who's covered this team and you've been at these games, have you seen growth in the offense so far this year? Obviously, it hasn't been as productive as they have hoped, but have you seen, you know, some of that potential and flashes that, hey, maybe with an extra week off or maybe a little deeper into the season, we can start to see some things offensively that they were hoping or expecting to see this year?
Yeah, I mean, incrementally, it seems like it has. If you go back to Georgia, I mean, obviously, 10-3 game, really ugly. I mean, the offense just couldn't get really anything going whatsoever. Georgia Tech was quite ugly as well, but at least against Boston College, they were gaining yards. I mean, you got over 400 yards offense. You got over 200 yards rushing. The thing that was most encouraging about the Boston College game was the way they ran the football. To get Kobe Pace and Phil Maffa and all those guys going, and obviously to figure out the offensive line to a certain extent, it feels like they were kind of forced into moving Matt Bockhorst back to guard as well. Putnam was out. He looked much better at guard than he has at center. And then you have to go into the bye week and, you know, continue to tinker with that offensive line and see if they can, you know, A, get Will Putnam back, and then B, you know, kind of figure out if maybe it's better to have a guy like Hunter Rayburn at center and get more continuity and more experience in that offensive line. And then the one thing, though, that's still got to get better is DJ Uiagalelei. I mean, he completed four of his last 16 passes against Boston College. Some of that's drops. Some of that's, you know, just, you know, other players, you know, not quite living up to what they have to do. But then also just some really off-target throws that are uncharacteristic what we saw from him last year. So still got to clean that up as well. But definitely have seen some steps in the right direction.
Yeah, you mentioned the struggles for DJ. If we were making like some sort of blame pie chart here for the struggles offensively, I mean, how would you look at it? Who deserves the most blame, for lack of a better term, when you look at this, when you look at the struggles offensively, the offensive line, coaching, quarterback? Where do you think things have gone wrong specifically for the Clemson offense this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, because I think everybody wants to point just to DJ Uiagalelei, because he's the quarterback and that's the face of the offense. But I think when it's hard to run the football, which they haven't been able to do consistently until, again, the Boston College game, defenses are just going to have so much of an easier time just trying to take away that quarterback and take away those explosive receivers that you have. So I would say that the offensive line is near the top, and DJ Uiagalelei at times, you know, has been kind of a 1B, but I would say 1A, probably the offensive line, not be able to run the ball, not be able to take pressure off of a young quarterback. Then the young quarterback just making some mistakes that, you know, throws that you look at and say, he definitely wanted to have that one back. That's happened multiple times. And there have been times where receivers have run wrong routes or they've dropped the ball. I mean, the receivers are not, you know, kind of exempt here in terms of that. And also just the slot situation. I think they're really, really finding out that Amari Rodgers and, you know, Hunter Renfrow going back in time, having that slot receiver that can really get open at any time. They really Justin Ross has not really been able to quite be that for them this year. And there's been a ton of questions about whether you move him back outside, but who would be inside, because Will Taylor's hurt now. That was the guy that fans were pining for maybe in the slot, but he's out for the year with an ACL tear. Kind of what do you do with that slot position to get you somebody you can just kind of throw a little quick pass to and gain 5 or 6 yards? They don't really have that right now. But, yeah, it's a lot of different elements that kind of add up to where they are right now offensively.
Yeah, so then with that said, I mean, how much of this could be cleaned up either during the season or when you have an off week like this? Or do you believe that this is just kind of who Clemson is here in 2021 and, you know, hope to regroup and be better offensively next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent, again, there have been incremental gains. You can hope that, you know, maybe the offense that you saw at times against Boston College that just couldn't finish in the red zone, that you get better at, you know, converting the red zone and score more points. But at the same time, I don't think this is an offense that you can just lean on and say it's going to score 35 points per game. I don't know if it's feasible to say that that's where they're going to be for the end of the season. It's really a team that seems geared to win games, you know, 21-17 or, you know, 24-17 or something around there. Just seems to be the more realistic expectation of where they are right now. Because, again, just a young quarterback, an offensive line that's still kind of gelling together. You'll have a lot of those pieces, most of those pieces back next year. Really, if you do project forward to 2022, and I hate, you know, Clemson fans probably hate hearing that, because it's supposed to be, you know, reload every year and you're not supposed to rebuild. But if you look at the roster, there's a lot of the young players that are going to be much more mature by the time they get to next year, and maybe you're back to scoring 35, 40 points a game. But this year just does seem, at least what we've seen thus far, to be kind of a growing year and a lot of growing pains. And I don't know if it would be feasible to say this is going to be a team that puts up a ton of points and we're going to have to win with defense. It seems like that's the way it's going to be this year.
We've touched on the struggles at the quarterback position with DJ. There was that video after the game against BC where he's out in the field at whatever it was, almost 2 a.m., you know, practicing throws. And it was brought up elsewhere on this station earlier this week. And I do find it interesting about, you know, this, I don't know if you want to call it a conspiracy theory, but this idea that, you know, go out there with a camera guy for Clemson, put it out there that optically it looks good, that when you're upset with this quarterback, you see, oh, he is out there working at 1 a.m. I guess my question for you would be, was any of that just kind of for optics, or truly, you know, DJ, I'm not trying to call his effort or hard work into question, but how much of that was truly legit going out there 1:30 working on some things compared to, you know, maybe optically putting something out there that looks a certain way?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's an interesting theory, I guess. But I have seen quarterbacks, you know, be out there with receivers after games. I mean, that's happened in the past. I don't know about that late. I've never seen after a night game a guy go out there again. I think it was about 12:30 in the morning or something like that. He was making some throws. But, I mean, from everything we've heard about DJ, it's not that surprising. And that's where you kind of, you know, think maybe it is real, maybe it wasn't just a stunt or something like that, is that DJ, they talk about him all the time, that nobody cares more as a quarterback. I mean, they talked about after the Georgia game, he was the first guy back in the weight room. They're watching film, the film room, trying to figure out, you know, what mistakes he made and kind of how to fix those things. And then So I think I asked, you know, before the BC game, I asked Dave Allen about DJ Uiagalelei as a leader, because he brought him up as one of the leaders of the offense, and, you know, talked about how he was, you know, really like straining in the weight room, you know, that all the struggle, the growing pains, all those things do push him, and he seems to really be putting in a lot of effort. So, yeah, I guess I can't know for sure whether that was, you know, legit or not. I think it probably was, just knowing the character that, you know, they talk about that's within DJ, but it is definitely backed up by things that they've said many times over. So I would be surprised if it was just kind of a stunt. I would think that could very well be something DJ would just want to do on its own.
Yeah, it makes sense. Talking with John Blau about Clemson here on their off week. You can read his work for the Post and Courier. You mentioned the two road games coming up after this off week. For Clemson fans, or even for the program, I mean, what's the outlook for the rest of this season? It obviously hasn't gone as planned to this point. Even the wins have been close wins in the conference. As we look ahead for the rest of the season, at this point, what would still make for like a successful or a good year for Clemson? What should the expectations or hopes be for the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing, because obviously their fate is not in their own hands right now. I mean, you lost NC State. You got to hope for some losses. You know, Pittsburgh seems to be a pretty good team right now, at least offensively, which makes for an interesting matchup when they get them a couple weeks from now. So I don't know. I mean, there's a version of this where maybe Clemson runs the table. You know, they get some momentum offensively. They're able to beat a Pittsburgh on the road. Then Wake Forest at the end of the schedule actually looks like one of the tougher games they're going to have. I mean, we were looking at the schedule the first time around. It seemed like it was NC State, Boston College, and then kind of roll the rest of the way. But the way Wake Forest is playing on both sides of the ball, I mean, that looks like that's going to be a really, really tough game. But I would say if they drop one more game, maybe you get to that ACC title game and you try to finish on a high note and beat whoever emerges from the Coastal. I mean, it's a mess over there. You know, who emerges there and you win that game and then ACC title game. I would think, you know, finishing with 2-3 losses, going to a pretty decent bowl game would be a nice outcome, because Dabo Swinney's talked about it before. I mean, there have been moments of adversity in this program. They obviously had this unprecedented run of 6 straight CFPs, but I mean, they've had times where they win or lose, I would say, 3 or 4 games and then come back and they're, you know, better than ever. So I think just, again, making more incremental progress offensively, especially, only drop maybe one more game. If you lose 2, it's probably a little more disappointing, but depends what you do in the bowl game, then maybe you can kind of recover a little bit. But I think just kind of making those gains and not dropping too many more and being competitive and it, you know, maybe even widening the gap with some of those wins, just kind of make it so it's not a heart attack every time. I think that would make Clemson fans more happy.
Yeah, I think so. We'll let you get out of here on this one. Something that you mentioned there that I do want to try to follow up on, but I know it's your first year on the beat. But has the optimism or just the mood in the building, has it wavered? Has it changed at all as this year's gone on? Because, of course, it has been a frustrating season, I'm sure, for everyone involved. And for these last few years, Clemson's not used to either having such tough wins or these losses as well. Have you noticed any sort of change just around the program or building from the offseason to now here we are, you know, a few weeks into this year?
Yeah, I mean, it just has been a little surprising. I mean, you go into camp and everybody's talking about, you know, all the young talent they got, the expectations are what it is going to be, what it has been for the last however many years. And I think it was more just a surprise, I think, to everyone. And there have been some tough questions they've had to face, and especially like a Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator, you know, in terms of what's going wrong and how can he fix it. And there's definitely, I think, a little bit of an annoyance or a little bit of a frustration. I mean, you talked to Matt Bockhorst, for instance, at a press conference a couple of weeks ago where he was really going after people for coming after them, just in terms of, you know, saying that, well, they're making all these criticisms, they're not watching the film, they don't know, we're putting out the effort and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I think there has been some frustration. I think there has been a little bit of a sour taste to this, obviously, because it's not what they expect. But you also get the kind of happy face that they try to give you that we're pushing through this, that Dabo Swinney's been saying, obviously, that adversity sometimes can be something you can learn from. It can be a gift in its own way. But it's definitely a surprise. I think there's been a lot of surprise. There's been a lot of narrative that I don't think a lot of people expected there to be in terms of how they performed and how the season has gone. But in terms of the public facing kind of things that the team and the coaches are saying. They're obviously trying to keep a good face about this and you know, not seem panicked or worried and kind of push forward. But, you know, lose a couple more games, that they could get a little bit even more frustrating and kind of hard in terms of how things are going. But we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. They get back to it next weekend against Syracuse and they come off their bye week to finish up the run there in the ACC. He's John Blau, covers Clemson for the Post and Courier. You can read his work there and keep up with the latest with Clemson as they try to make some adjustments here in this off week before getting back to it. John, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the off weekend, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, Luke.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. John Blau, who covers Clemson for the Post and Courier. Follow him on Twitter at John_Blau, B-L-A-U. Does a good job covering Clemson here this year. Yeah, I mean, if you're handing – it's not quite midseason, but it's the bye week. If you're handing out grades, I mean, the defense has been fantastic, much better than even the last couple of years. You'd give them – I'd probably go A. I mean, maybe an A+, but the defense has been really good. And the defense – or I should say the offense overall as a whole offensively, I mean, you're probably giving a D, and that may be generous. At the quarterback position for DJ, he's probably received a D, has not played well whatsoever. Offensive line, probably a C. There have been some bright spots in the backfield with the running game, at least of late, especially when you factor in who you're counting on at that running back position. You know, maybe you give them a B. And the wide receivers, I thought I was pumping their tires this offseason about the size they have and how good of a wide receiving core this could be for Clemson. And it has not been good enough. You give them, I don't know, maybe we'll give them a D. Maybe a C-, somewhere around that area. And overall, obviously a huge disappointment for Clemson, the most disappointing team in college football this year. Another disappointing team would be LSU. We'll get to the comments if you haven't heard them yet from Ed O., which was, you know, I think it's kind of a whole lot of nothing, but I also think as somebody who's in that position with these coaches shows, there was an interesting exchange this week on the coaches show for Ed O, and we will get to that a little bit later on. But when we come back, it's time for our picks of the week. I'll give you my football picks for this weekend, and we'll try to keep the winnings rolling when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Get to our picks for the football weekend coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Coming up in just a moment. Appreciate the time. Last segment from John Blau, who covers Clemson for the Post and Courier, as we break down the Tigers here at essentially the midway point and during their bye week. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charles, however you listen to your podcast. And the show... also available, a podcast also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through the free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Hey, let me remind you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners now with their to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. Mention that you heard about them right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now with their to-go service. We'll get to my picks in just a moment. Don't forget to get your picks in as well today by 5 p.m. at charlestonsportsradio.com for our weekly Pick'em contest. For that contest, you're just picking a winner. Who do you think is going to win the games? Let us know online, charlestonsportsradio.com, by 5 o'clock today. And if you pick the most correct, you'll get a Fan Zone gift card. It goes on every week throughout the football season, charlestonsportsradio.com. I'll give you my picks against the spread in just a moment. But first, you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. Let's go to the phones because Sam is with us. Sam, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. What's up?
Hey, are you making any picks today?
Oh, I'm about to in mere moments. Just you wait.
Okay, well, I have a good game to ask you about something.
Sure.
Is North Carolina playing someone this weekend?
UNC, let me see. They have not been on my radar. They play Florida State, I think it's next week.
Okay, here's a couple of questions to ask you about. My sister went to North Carolina since 2011.
Uh-huh.
I never been up there since March.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible to go up there after COVID is over?
Yeah.
Or things over? And I want to know if I was spoke to Pat Kelsey yesterday about the basketball season.
Yeah.
I may see him during the season and ask him about how's the team going to look, and I want to know if I'm just worried about the concession stands or safety protocols in place. You have any thoughts?
What's your favorite? I know you've been concerned about the concession stands. What's your favorite thing to get at the concession stands at those games?
For me, I like sometimes I like hot dogs kind
yeah.
of stuff. I try to stay away from those, but it's a little tempting sometimes.
You're not kidding. What do you like to put on the hot dog? Do you go mustard, ketchup, relish? What do you put? What's the toppings on the hot dog?
Okay, I give you two options.
Uh-huh.
I do mustard and ketchup and French fries.
You put French fries on top of the hot dog?
No. So here's the thing. So I put they give me a hot dog first.
Yep.
And the other condiments with mustard and ketchup on the side.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still worried about the safety protocols, and I want to know if is it safe for everybody to get food after this thing is over?
Is it safe for what?
Is it still safe after COVID is over?
Yeah. Of course. Hey, it's safe right now to go to those games. Go get yourself a hot dog. Put some mustard in it. Put the French fries on top of the hot dog and have it all at once. You could go to a UNC game right now if you want. They're all out there enjoying it. By the way, UNC's playing Florida State tomorrow. That game is tomorrow. And when you see Jay this season, don't just ask him about College of Charleston. Ask him about the Morrow Midday Show as well. Speaking of hot dogs, the Braves unveiled a number of new food items for the playoffs. And one of them was the Nuxie dog. It's a hot dog, foot-long, all-beef hot dog that's topped with pulled pork, coleslaw, pickles, and barbecue sauce. I'm looking at the photo right now. I haven't eaten lunch yet today. This looks spectacular. It's the South for your mouth. Right? It's just like barbecue on the hot. Oh, that looks so good. I could go for one of those right now. Sam, put those French fries on the hot dog. Or better yet, go get yourself a Nuxie dog with pulled pork, coleslaw, pickles, and barbecue sauce all on that hot dog as well. And enjoy some College of Charleston basketball this year. All right, time for the picks. As always, I give you the numbers first. We're having a good year. We're coming off, I don't know, something like three straight winning weeks, whatever it is. On the season, 36-25-2 on all picks I've given you. So, 11 games over 500, that's a 59% win rate, which is very good. I'm buying a new house in Malibu tomorrow, and last week we went 7-4, 5-1 in college football. Last 3 weeks in college football, we're 16-4. All right, that's all the data. Those are all the numbers. We're on a good run right now, at least in college football. It's been tough this week. There's some tough numbers this week. We'll see how we do. I don't want to couch any of the picks to tell you I'm not as sure on these as some of the other ones. Just telling you, tough weekend for some of these spreads. But we got plenty of picks in both college and football. We always include the local teams. Time for our picks of the week.
It's time to earn some cash.
Woo-hoo!
It's Luke's picks of the week.
Great cash, homie.
All right, let's see if we can keep it rolling. Starting in college football, no Clemson game, but the Gamecocks have this big game against Tennessee we've been talking about all afternoon. South Carolina's a 10.5-point underdog. I wish I saw the look-ahead line. I could probably find it if I wanted to, but I'm sure this number was a lot different last Friday. I'm sure it would have been a lot different at the start of the season. Then Tennessee goes and hangs 62 points on Missouri, and I think that number is inflated. Missouri's defense is lousy. They fired a defensive coach this week. Their defensive coordinator won't be long for that job. South Carolina's defense, I do think, is much better. So Tennessee has the opportunity to run away and hide from this Gamecock offense, but I do think South Carolina's defense will keep them in it. I don't know how many points South Carolina are going to score, but I think this number's inflated because of last week's game, and I don't think already 5 games into these two coaches' tenures, I don't think Tennessee, even at home, are 2 touchdowns better. South Carolina has won more than they've lost in the last half decade against Tennessee. I'm going with South Carolina. I don't think they win the game, but I'll take them. All right, I'll take 10.5 points. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think you see Tennessee score 62, and everybody gets really excited about that team. And it is a good offense, but I don't know if we're already at the point of talking about them beating the Gamecocks by a couple of touchdowns. I think that's overreacting. Elsewhere in college football, Memphis, 4-point dog this week. Let's take them. Memphis on the road. This number has come down a little bit, but I still like it. Memphis is a 4-point underdog on the road at Tulsa. Tulsa, by the way, 1-4 this year. They shouldn't be favored against anybody, even at home. The wrong team's favored. It's a late-night game. You could stay up for it tomorrow night. But give me Memphis as a 4-point underdog. Last 3 games for Memphis have all been decided by a field goal or less. They play close games. Tulsa is not very good. Give me Memphis 4-point underdog tomorrow night. To the ACC we go. Biggest game of the weekend in the ACC. Wake Forest at Syracuse. Now, this is a trendy upset pick. A lot of people are on Syracuse in this game. I'm going chalk. I'm going square here. I'm taking Wake Forest to win on the road against Syracuse and cover the 6 points. I don't think Syracuse is very good. In fact, I think I picked them to finish last in the ACC this year. They are 3-2, but I haven't been very impressed with some of their wins. Meanwhile, Wake Forest, I know they just squeezed by against Louisville last week, but they're a top 20 team. They're undefeated. They usually play good football the first 2 months of the season. I know they have to go on the road, but it's an indoor game. I think they have the better coach. They have the better quarterback. They have the better team. 6 points is a little high for a road team, but I think it's that for a reason. Wake Forest, we're talking about potentially winning the ACC. I think Syracuse is still one of the worst teams in the conference. So I'll take my chances. The sharp play may be take the home dog as a 6-point underdog. I'm rolling with Wake Forest. Undefeated, top 20 team, 20 starters back from last year's team. They're experienced. I'm not concerned about them going on the road and beating Syracuse. Last year, they really outgained them. It was a close game, but they outplayed Syracuse more than the final score. Give me Wake Forest to cover the 6. Then just to focus on the 2 biggest games in college football tomorrow, as I see it. Iowa, Penn State. I'll take Iowa at home, 1.5-point favorite. Home field advantage, we usually assume, is 3. All right, they're only favored by 1.5. I think Iowa's the better team than Penn State. This line tells me that Vegas believes on a neutral field Penn State would be favored. I disagree. I think Iowa's the better team. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Iowa, to me, is the better defense, in large part because they force turnovers. And Sean Clifford's a guy who can play his way into a few turnovers, especially on the road. It's going to be a rowdy environment in Iowa. And Iowa, as I laid out earlier, I think has less pressure. I think Penn State needs this game more than Iowa. So there's more pressure on Penn State. They're on the road. They're going against the better defense. I could give you all sorts of numbers, but Iowa is right there with Georgia, 2 best defenses in the country this year. Penn State hasn't done well running the football this year. They're going to have to throw it more. Sean Clifford will have a couple of interceptions. Iowa will find a way to win at home. Essentially, this is almost a pick 'em. How many times do you have a 1-point game? Iowa's favored by 1.5. I'm essentially picking them to win. I think they win at home against Penn State tomorrow. And the other big game tomorrow, Texas-Oklahoma. I'm rolling with Texas as a 3.5-point underdog. Texas is playing good football. Oklahoma has not covered a spread all year against an FBS team. They're 0-4. They play a lot of close games. They're favored by 3.5 here, neutral site. Texas is playing well. My one concern is that Oklahoma has a good run defense. Texas is led by their great running back. But Steve Sarkisian will be able to score points. Texas's defense may not be able to be exploited tomorrow, as Oklahoma offensively has not been playing great. I'm going to take the underdog. Close matchup, I'll take the points. Texas 3.5-point dog against Oklahoma. My one concern, other than that rushing attack, would also be Oklahoma putting it together at the right time tomorrow. They have not played their best football yet. What happens if they do tomorrow? But I'll take my chances. Give me Texas, 3.5-point underdog. To the NFL we go. We always pick the local teams. Let's start with the London game Sunday morning. Falcons against the Jets. Wrong team's favored. I was surprised to look at this line and see that the Falcons are favored still by 2.5. That number has come down, but they're still favored 2.5. Wrong team's favored here. Falcons don't have Calvin Ridley. They don't have Russell Gage. Who do they have? All they have is Kyle Pitts. Plus, last week, the Jets had 7 sacks against Ryan Tannehill, who is more mobile, younger, and athletic than Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is a statue back there. I think this Jets defense will be able to get after Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan doesn't have a ton of weapons to work with offensively. Paul Charchian yesterday gave us the numbers about how underwhelming Mike Davis has been for the Falcons. Now you take away their best weapon on offense. There's not much left on offense for the Falcons. And defensively, the Falcons haven't been great there either. Taylor Heinicke just put 34 on the board on the road against that defense. Now a neutral site for Zach Wilson coming off his best game. I think Zach Wilson will play well once again Sunday. I think the Jets win outright. I think this is another disappointing loss for the Falcons. Plus, it's just hard to trust Atlanta. They find ways to lose every week. I'll take my chances with the underdog. Give me the Jets on a neutral site, right? Neutral field. That tells you that if this was in Atlanta, the Falcons would be a touchdown favorite. That is way too high for Falcons-Jets. They're not that much better than the Jets. Give me the Jets, 2.5-point underdog. Panthers, favored by 3 at home against the Eagles. The latest is that Christian McCaffrey is doubtful. I would not expect him to play on Sunday, but I think the Panthers win anyways. Now, this number has come down, so I like it. It's at 3. I'll take the Panthers at the 3. If it goes back up to 3.5, I don't think I take the hook. But I like the Panthers. I think the Panthers win the game. I think they're the better team. I'll take them with 3. Again, they're the home team, favored by 3. That tells me Vegas believes on a neutral field these two are even. I don't agree with that. I think the Eagles are a last-place team. I think the Panthers will have a winning record this year. The Panthers have the better quarterback. They have the better all-around team. I think Carolina wins. Plus, they're at home. I think the Panthers win this game. Not only that, but they come off that disappointing loss last week to Dallas in a big spot. Their defense did not play well. I think the defense will come back hungry on Sunday to prove them, you know, to prove their worth. And the Panthers sent a message to that locker room just as they did the fan base when they made those trades the last 2 weeks. We believe in this team. We have a good team here. We think we could be a playoff team. I think that adds some momentum, some confidence for those guys as they go out there and play at home on Sunday against a 1-3 Eagles team. Give me the Panthers favored by 3. Other games in the NFL, I'm taking the Giants, 7-point underdog at Dallas. Way too much for a divisional game, even if the Giants are on the road. Daniel Jones, his quarterback rating is 17 points higher in his career on the road than at home. He has a 94 quarterback rating for his career on the road. That's good. He doesn't turn the football over as much on the road. And he hasn't turned the football over this year. One interception for Daniel Jones. It was on a Hail Mary at the end of a half. The Cowboys' defense has been reliant on turnovers. They have forced multiple turnovers in, 5 straight games? I don't think they get the turnovers on Sunday. Plus, Joe Judge, go back and look. He's been blown out once in his career. So with the 7-point spread, you tell me that the Cowboys would have to win by multiple scores. Joe Judge, even when the Giants lose, they play close games. Their last 2 losses this year, they led in the fourth quarter. I think 7 is way too much for this. I think the Giants are underrated at 1-3. I think we're overrating the Cowboys right now at 3-1. They score a lot of points. They just beat the Panthers. Everyone's excited about them. Everyone's talking about them as a Super Bowl contender this week. That inflates the market. Give me the Giants 7-point dog in a divisional game. Sunday Night Football. Chiefs favored by 2.5 at home against the Bills. I think the sharp play is Buffalo. But I'm rolling with Kansas City. The Chiefs have been terrible against the spread the last 2 years. But 2.5 at home, this is one of those proven. The Chiefs, otherwise, they fall under 500 if they lose this game. I don't think they lose on national TV Sunday night at home to Buffalo. And while the Bills are 3-1, go back and look at those 3 wins. They're against 3 teams that have a combined 3 wins. The Bills haven't been tested. They haven't beaten a good team yet. So I think they're a little overvalued right now. Give me the Chiefs at home, 2.5. 2 more in the NFL. Got plenty of picks for you today. And these 2, they make you feel dirty when you pick them. But I got to take the Jaguars. I cannot kick the Jags. I think I have included them in our picks every week of the NFL season so far. They are 4.5-point underdogs at home to the Titans. And I think this is a chance to jump on the Jags because everybody is all over Tennessee. Right? We have this Urban Meyer drama. The Jaguars are 0-4. They're a bad team. Everybody's kicking them while they're down, thinking, no way can they win this game. But they have extra time to prepare. They have the Titans coming to their building. The Titans have a minus point differential. They're not even as good as their poor 2-2 record. The Titans, I don't think, will have their two best receivers back yet this week. And Trevor Lawrence is coming off his best game. Zach Wilson just beat the Titans outright. Why can't Trevor Lawrence against that defense? And Mike Vrabel has never beaten a rookie quarterback. Mike Vrabel, as head coach of the Titans, is winless against rookie quarterbacks. Give me the Jaguars, and I'm probably going to regret this on Monday, but I'll take the Jaguars 4.5-point dog at home to the Titans. That's a lot of points for a divisional game, right? For a home dog in divisional play, we'll take the Jags against the Titans. Remember, 10 days ago on the road, short week, they lost on a field goal to the first-place Bengals. Now they're at home, more time to prepare, divisional game. I'll take the Jags 4.5-point dog. And lastly, this is another one. You feel kind of icky doing it, but I think it's the right play. We're going Texans, 9-point underdog against the Patriots. Now, Bill Belichick is fantastic against rookie quarterbacks. I get that. I don't think the Texans win this game, but can you keep it to single digits, Houston? Mac Jones, rookie quarterback, is a 9-point favorite on the road. I think that's way too much for a rookie quarterback. Not only that, but teams that are shut out the week prior cover the spread about 70% of the time the next week. They usually bounce back, or the market, you know, leans too far in one way because you just saw the Texans lose 40-0. You're going to bet the hell out of the other team, thinking, oh, yeah, the Patriots are going to kill them too. But it's hard for an offense to go 2 weeks and play that bad, or it's hard for a team to go 2 weeks and get blown out by that much back-to-back games. The NFL is a one-score league. So the Texans are at home. Mac Jones, a rookie quarterback, 9-point favorite on the road. I'm going to take the Texans to lose the game but keep it to single digits. Give me the Texans as a 9-point home dog. I know Davis Mills has been terrible. The Patriots are the better team. Good luck for Davis going up against Bill Belichick. But I'll take the Texans. I think that's way too many points for a rookie quarterback on the road. The Texans were embarrassed last week. I think they come back with a better effort at home this week. And there you go. All of our picks for this weekend. We're taking the Gamecocks, Memphis, Wake Forest, Texas and Iowa in college football, and in the NFL, we'll roll with the Jets, Panthers, Giants, Chiefs, Jaguars, and Texans. When we come back, have you heard this exchange from Coach O? If not, we'll play it for you from his coach's show this week when we return. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Just gave you my picks for this football weekend. You can catch them on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Not included in those game picks is the LSU game at Kentucky tomorrow. I think Kentucky wins this game. I think Ed O continues to be in big trouble. 5 straight games for LSU against ranked teams. I don't know if he even makes it through the stretch of 5 games. So they had the coaches show this week with Ed O. And we, you know, do the coaches show for the Citadel so I can relate to the situation. I've never actually been in a situation like this. We don't take calls. We do take questions and plan to from the audience. Hopefully something like this doesn't occur. This is what happened on the coaches show with Ed O when a fan called in the other night to talk to the head coach of LSU.
Jay Boy, right here in Baton Rouge. Jay Boy, you're on with Coach O.
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
All right, Jay Boy.
Before I get my call about special teams, that's being embarrassing, Big Brother, real quick. My little sister is in attendance there tonight celebrating her 20th birthday.
All right, happy birthday.
Wish her a happy birthday.
Yeah, where you at? Happy 20th birthday. What's her name?
Bebe.
Bebe?
Little Bebe, that's what we call her.
All right. Yeah. That sounds like a familiar name I know. What's up?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bebe. But yeah. All
right. Yeah, now she is a little blonde-headed girl, so try not to have sex with her and put her on.
Come on, man. Oh, come on, man.
Really? Wow.
Come on, man.
All right. Let's talk about Kentucky, Coach. Mark Stoops,
let me say something right now. You know, down the bayou, we got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
let's get back to football.
Ed Ogeron on his coach's show the other night, an incredibly awkward and uncomfortable situation, especially for the host, right? And you tried to make the impossible transition. Now, a lot of people are upset with Coach O for his response, how he said we have a fishing hole for people like that, right? Kind of like alluding to, you know, like killing somebody and hiding the body. I personally have no problem with it. You want to call into his show and make a comment like that and make it personal, right? You want to call in and criticize a football coach for a football decision. Okay, fair game. That's the whole idea of the coach's show. I don't know why these coaches' shows even take phone calls. You open yourself up to opportunities like that. And you want to tell me that the coach should take the high road and be professional? All right, I get that. Yeah, probably. They probably should. I probably would want my coach to, you know, just brush it off, move on. But with that said, if I was in that position, right, I mean, I get it. I understand. Somebody calls into his coach's show to talk LSU football and, you know, makes a remark like that. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that comment for Edo. But I think it just also helps to signal the way things are going there in LSU on both sides. He's getting prank called. And to even, you know, when things are going well, you probably can brush that off a little bit more. When things aren't going well all around, maybe you have a little bit more of a, not a temper, but you don't have as much patience like that. And LSU has a big game against Kentucky that they need to win. For coaches' shows, stop taking, how often do you listen to a coach's show and you think like, wow, that was a really good phone call. That was really insightful. Great question. Stop with the phone calls and putting coaches in this situation anyways, where people could easily prank you. But an interesting exchange the other night, and a lot of people upset with Coach O. I had no problem with what he had to say. I have more of a problem with prank calling his show and saying something like that. We'll wrap up your Football Friday when we come back. Big game for the Gamecocks tomorrow. It's the Mara Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
And lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
Funky finish to your Football Friday here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or a free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And you can download that free app and listen to the show from anywhere in the world. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 9 different states and multiple countries here on this Football Friday. And don't forget, if you ever miss anything from the show or you want to hear something back, you can always find it on demand in those same spots as well. Online at charlestonsportsradio.com, just click on our show page. Through the free app, search ESPN Charleston in the App Store, or just search ESPN Radio Charleston wherever you listen to your podcast. You can find us on demand there. Gave you my picks earlier. I don't think South Carolina wins this one tomorrow, but I will take them to cover the 10.5 at Tennessee. Just some few other nuggets about this series. The home team has only covered 5 of the last 24 matchups between these two. And that number to me is way too high. 8 of the last 9 games between these two teams have been decided by 6 points or less. And lastly, the underdog has covered the spread in 8 of the last 9 games between South Carolina and Tennessee, winning outright in 5 of those 9 games. The underdog has the winning record the last 9 years in this series. Don't count South Carolina out at Tennessee. I'll pick Tennessee to win, but not by double digits. I think it's a close, competitive game tomorrow. I think it's a big game for South Carolina and a good measuring stick for both of these teams in year 1 of their new head coaches trying to turn things around. Whatever happens, we'll be here to recap it on Monday. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again Monday. It's the Tomorrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.